I mentioned before we had JJ on, something happened already 3 weeks into this NFL season for the Chiefs that I'm wondering, do we think they make the same decision if they were not chasing history? If they were not coming off of back-to-back Super Bowls, going for a three-peat, everything that's on the line there. And I'm talking about pulling Kingsley after two games. Now, Juan Ian Morris, to his credit, I thought he was solid on Sunday night. I don't think it was a great performance, but we didn't mention him much. Didn't notice him much. That's usually a good thing. A few times they left in Carson Steele to help Chip or whatever, and it led to a big play down the field. That was key. It was one of the better blocks of the game. Most important blocks was from Carson Steele. But do you think the Chiefs, after drafting Kingsley in the second round, after having him get first team reps like all of training camp, we were up in St. Joe, after starting him week one and starting him week two, do we think if they were not going for a three-peat, if it was just a quote-unquote normal season, do they make the switch so quickly?
No. If they are any other
team, so
if they are any of the other 31 teams in the NFL and had made the decisions the same up to that point, Kingsley Suamate would be starting week three. So they're making it based on their need to win now. And in fairness, you can't really argue it, can you? Like last week, they needed the protection in the game in order to, you know, get the win. They needed that little bit against Atlanta to make sure they had the time to operate. And so it worked. I can't fault the logic in the work. Now, I will question always long-term ramifications of, hey, what did you do to his mentality? Now he can't. So, like, you know, we talk about developing players. I'll be honest. I don't think it's super easy to develop as an offensive lineman if you don't, and I'm dead serious, play. There are some positions that you can develop behind the scenes. Offensive line, that's a tricky one, Gold. You actually have to see some of these reps. You have to be on the field and block some of these guys in order to get better. And for a team that's allowed players to get better throughout the season, they seem to be going the opposite of Kingsley. But if it leads to a third Super Bowl,
Nobody's going to complain.
Long term, be damned.
Yeah, nobody's going to complain. I think it has to be, though, that this change happens because of the three-peat campaign. Because you're right. Typically, Andy's fairly patient. Now, maybe you view it differently because it's the left tackle. It's protecting your $500 million quarterback. And so, hey, they're just not going to risk it. And they felt like he was a real liability for his health and what they want to do on offense. Maybe so. But then it's like, what happened during the evaluation period? I get what you're saying. You don't know until you're going up against the best in the world, which is what they did and saw that. But also, I'm just surprised that if it was a true competition in camp, I think my attitude towards this would have been different. Like if it was, hey, during camp, they're truly rotating in 50-50 Kingsley with Wanye, and during preseason, one preseason game, Wanye got the start, the next Kingsley got the start. It's like, man, this is a really close battle. I think I'd be like, well, it makes sense that they maybe pulled the guy after two games. Yeah. But this to me was it's a performance-based decision, but also it's like, hey, we don't have time for you to figure this one out. Not this year, man. We don't have time. We've got an elite roster. We're going for history. We don't have time, unfortunately, to kind of drag you along with us. We got to have someone that can give us stable play. We agree that maybe your ceiling is higher because of your athleticism, Kingsley, but we need someone that can give us better production at that spot right now. And the answer to that is Wanya. So I don't have an issue with the decision, but I don't believe it's a decision they normally make under Andy Reid, and that's why it stood out.
Yeah, because in every other time, I can't think of how many times I've been like, come on, man, stop it. I'm almost begging for them to overreact, right? Like normally it's our side, right? You're like, Nick Bolton can't guard. What about on third down? You try Tranquil. And then he has his best game of the year because they're like, relax, dude. You're just, it takes a few games. It's cool. Just be cool. And you're like, last year, talk about how easy it would have been to overreact to wide receiver. Man, they let Tony stay out there half the year.
They didn't have a replacement. You know, I guess that's the difference too, right? In their mind, Wanye was able to come in. Like, they just didn't have any other option at wide receiver. That's what happened.
Before they bailed on the plan though, man, they kept sticking with it.
They did.
Patient, develop, patient, you know, and like they'll go through it. But with this one, they're just like, I think it's only this position he's willing to do it in, only because they had a second option and because of what we talked about from the beginning of the season. He's not just trying to do his job well and make sure. It's that if he does his job incredibly poorly, like if Kingsley Suamata gets beat, the only person that ends up as a result of the bad on that is Patrick Mahomes. And if there's one thing you definitely can't risk the health of or the safety of the play of, it is the damn quarterback. So left tackle might be the only position on the field they're not willing to be as patient.
Now, I would argue, we didn't all see it, but I think the city's mental health was impacted by Kadarius Toney playing for this football team last year. Now, maybe you're right, the physical health.
Physical health. Kadarius Toney wasn't going to get Patrick Mahomes hurt. Okay?
No, but mentally, I think there was some damage done. Some damage was done to this entire city.
My prefrontal cortex may never be the same.
Until they got to the postseason. But anyway, the backfield situation, though, I think you have to feel better about after Sunday night. If you're worried you're going to lose Pacheco, and that is a big loss for this team, you don't replace that. But let's say it's going to be 9-10 weeks from now before Pacheco's back. Seeing Carson Steele give you 72 yards, 4.2 yards per carry, and then Perine had a couple. He ends up with 6 for 25. I thought there were two carries in particular that were really, really strong from him. And then Kareem Hunt is on the practice squad. We'll see if he's ready for Sunday or not. I feel pretty good about this backfield. The question I have is, what's the split looking like? You know, I think 17 carries is the most we're going to see in a game, period.
It was 50-50 at the first half.
It was. But Andy rode the hot hand, and I think if you're going to have a backfield with nobody that has a firm grasp on the job, I'm fine with going with the hot hand, and that was Carson Steele. I would be very surprised we see a game where Carson Steele gets more than the 17 carries. That's a higher number than I thought he was getting. His over-under was set at 11.5, I think, in Vegas.
That.
He went way over, and we said, hey, if you think he's going over the carries, he's going to go over the yardage of 41.5, and he did. I think what is going to happen, whenever that day comes that Kareem Hunt is active, I don't know if it's Sunday or not, the carries for Perine might go away. So let's say it's 6 carries for Perine. Those 6 go to Kareem Hunt.
Correct. But I don't actually think the rest of the split changes.
Yeah, but maybe in the receiving options, Kareem Hunt or Samaje Perine is still a factor there. I think it's the Perine carries go away. Carson Steele is still about the same. And then if the hot hand that day is Kareem Hunt, then so be it.
I think that it'll be a 65-35 split for him. He'll get 65%, especially if he's going to do a good job in pass protection, which he had some moments in the last game in which he held his own in that department. I think it'll be a 65-35 split. The reason why is because they need some, like, if they're not going to have Isaiah Pacheco, who's one of the 10 best backs in the league over the last 20 games or so, over the last year and then the first game before he got hurt this year, then I think you have to, your rushing identity is now, this man would rather die than go down, you know? Maybe he's not as polished of a runner as Kareem Hunt ever was. Maybe he doesn't see things as well as Pacheco yet, but Carson Steele runs like he would do anything to run through you one time. He won't go down. He'll fight for every inch. And that's fine. That's an identity. What you need is a rushing identity. Samaje Perine is not the kind of guy that you want to turn around and hand the ball off to. So as soon as Kareem Hunt comes back, I think those go to him. Samaje stays as the third down passing back. And Carson Steele does the dirty work.
Yeah.
His stat line every week is probably going to be 13 carries for 68 yards and no scores.
That's fine. That's fine, though.
Let's be honest. Yeah. That is probably his stat line every week. 60 to 70 yards, no touchdowns, and like a bulk of the carries. Which, I'm not even disagreeing with the ratio. Seems fine to me. Seems like a good way to set it up.
Yeah, I think we'll hear from Andy coming up again tomorrow, try to see what the maybe progress is, if anything, in terms of getting in a football shape for Kareem Hunt with the practice squad going up against the Chargers. Is this the week that they activate him, or they say, hey, we're going to wait one more week and make sure you have Kareem Hunt good to go? Let's not forget, once week 5 hits, Clyde is also eligible in week 5 to come off the NFI list. Doesn't mean he will, but he's eligible. So then it gets
they
a
don't
little
feel
more,
like a rush.
Then
though,
it gets
Carson
a little more
Steele's
interesting. Because at
down,
some
you know?
Point, I mean, they're not going to have 4 active running backs on game day. So Carson Steele active, eventually Kareem Hunt will be active. Perine and Clyde, what do you do there? Who's going to be inactive or active? If Clyde's truly available, to me, he will be active.
Yeah, I would think so.
But doesn't mean that come week 9, he's not available. You know, that's the tricky part. We don't know. Or do they have to make a really tough decision roster-wise? And is somebody the odd man out? I mean, Keontae Ingram's an easy guy to just, no offense to him, cut and then bring him back on the practice squad.
No, I mean, you put him on the roster, but that's still only one inactive guy every day. Typically, they go into the game with 3 running backs. And Samaje Perine and Carson Steele are locks. Then what do you do about Kareem Hunt or Clyde Edwards-Helaire? But we don't even know. Here's the thing. And he hasn't talked about Clyde. We don't even know what's going on with Clyde. We don't know. He can come off the list in a couple weeks.
Yep.
We don't know if he is. He could be on that list all year. We don't really have much evidence yet on that.
And their talks with him, and Collinsworth mentioned it, is they sounded optimistic that he would be able to come off. But again, that's just what they were told.